The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of Podcorn, the daily podcast from the Guardian film team. My name is Benjamin Lee and it's Monday, November 16th. Joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Henry Barnes. Henry's been following the Mean Girls rule book for fashion today as he's wearing flats, so well done.
Thanks, Ben. Heels for the weekend, flats for the office.
Oh, Henry. Now, box office news. Angelina Jolie's third film, Behind the Camera, By the Sea, failed to sail at the US box office, scoring just $95,000. It was only released in 10 cinemas, but even still, that produces a poor screen average of under $10,000 per screen. The film should have brought in close to $30,000 per screen to be considered a hit on that small scale. The views have been pretty poor, but not entirely disastrous. It's got a 32% Rotten Tomatoes rating. The weekend was dominated still by Spectre. Henry, it's another case of big stars not doing well at the box office after a really poor month for sort of big names. But unlike those films, it was a case of maybe not going wide enough, do you think?
Yeah, why haven't distributors hired us yet? And let's speculate, shall we? Big stars, but a very kind of droll, sort of, not droll, what am I looking for? Dire, kind of depressing story. Difficult to sell to a wider audience, perhaps, but you would have thought maybe Jolie and Pitt together, particularly after not being in a film together since, I think it was Mr. and Mrs. Smith when they first met. It seems like a bigger sell than it got, but maybe the film is just too slow and too quiet for it really to make any impact.
It's almost the Revolutionary Road problem again, is that you get a couple who are, I mean, obviously Leo and Kate weren't a real couple, but they were known for this big romantic film, and Mr. and Smith was kind of the same thing in that way, and then they make a film which is about a couple who have these horrible marital issues, and that's less appealing for the same audience who wants to see them in love.
Yeah, and for some reason these Hollywood stars just won't do what they're told, right? Like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt aren't making big action films or broad comedies, they want to make smaller independent films which deal in humanity and emotions and boring. So it's difficult to sell that, I think, to a wider audience. Can we talk about Spectre a little bit as well?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, it was interesting that it's still behind the pace it's got in terms of catching up with Skyfall at the US box office. But I really liked that they put on a new promotional tour of China. So they've sent Daniel Craig and some of the other cast over there, presumably to try and catch up with the figure and make some more money off it, which made me think of Danny Boyle doing his round of Steve Jobs interviews last week, because he said that he was basically only doing interviews now because Steve Jobs had performed disappointingly. So it interests me that the marketing teams are just distribution people can coax the stars out to new territories to try and play catch-up, essentially, when the films aren't doing as well as you think they should.
Well, it worked in China too. I think it scored the biggest ever 2D opening, I think.
Something like $48 million, in American dollars. And yeah, so I mean, if they have the stars that are that flexible and the talent to do it, I suppose this is working now for them, that they can change the game plan halfway through.
So there's the release of a new thriller about a terror cell in France that's been delayed after the Paris attacks. A film called Made in France, which focuses on a Muslim journalist who goes undercover to infiltrate fundamentalist groups in the Parisian suburbs. He gets close to four young men who plan to create havoc in the nation's capital. The release had already been delayed after the Charlie Hebdo attack, but this time it was set to hit cinemas on November the 18th. There were already posters around the city for the film, and they showed the Eiffel Tower made up of an AK-47, which didn't go down very well. There's also been a lot of cinema closure in Paris over the weekend and premieres being cancelled. You can find out more about this at theguardian.com/film. Now, over the weekend, Spike Lee spoke at the Governor's Awards in Hollywood and said it was easier to be a black president than to be a black studio head. He also said this film industry is too far behind the sports industry. Now, Spike Lee is known for calling out racism in the industry and also from particular figures. Do you think he's got a point here? Because if you look at the top of the business side of Hollywood, it does seem quite white still.
Yeah, he has got a point. It's a little bit disappointing that it's always people like Spike Lee that are supposed to talk about this at big events. Samuel L. Jackson, who was presenting him with the award, said that Lee was an American anarchist, which I guess you could say is true in a sense that he's more outspoken than your average film director. But again, that's kind of what you'd expect Spike Lee to say, and he needs support from other people. I believe Cheryl Boone Isaacs, the head of the Oscar Academy, said that it was something that needs to be addressed. But then she goes on to talk about a program they're setting up called A2020. You don't really need programs. You need actual positive action of people hiring black people starting to bring in people and give them a framework that they can get higher and higher up these industries, much as the same as the British media or any other media organisation. So it would be nice to hear people other than Spike Lee, who is always going to say something entertaining and forthright, would come out and talk about this a bit more, I guess.
Would you think Spike Lee suffers from the sort of Michael Moore problem, is that when you're always being angry and you're always making these statements, even if they are true, that if you're doing it so often, then they start to kind of become diluted?
Yeah, you become a totem, essentially, which, isn't great. And it's not Spike Lee's fault. Of course he should be talking about this. Of course he wants to talk about this. He should be championed for talking about this. He needs other people in Hollywood, other industry figures, not to just sit there and think, yeah, he's doing very well, and scratch their chins, to actually come out and help him push this issue forward.
As we head close to award season, there's been a lot of talk about category eligibility, which is far more interesting than it sounds. On many occasions, film studios will try and push their stars into the category they think will they have the most chance of winning in. So this year we have Rooney Mara being pushed as Best Supporting Actress for her role in the romantic drama Carol, despite the fact that her character is arguably a lead. Similarly, Alicia Vikander has been pushed in the same category for her role in The Danish Girl, but again, you could argue she's a lead. The Best Supporting Actress category is usually less competitive than lead, so they were seen to have more of a chance. According to Variety, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, who vote on the Golden Globes, have actually vetoed this, and both are actually going to be competing for lead. The Martian has also been pushed into the comedy category. That's less competitive. Henry, what do you think about these sort of shadowy backstreet tactics? Do you think it's inevitable?
Yeah, they're shady, aren't they? But they are inevitable, and they've been going on a while as well. I think there is a way, particularly in a year like this, you look at the best actress, the potential best actress field at the Oscars, it's pretty crowded. You've got Kate Blanchett in there, Brie Larson for Room, Jennifer Lawrence potentially for Joy, and then maybe even Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn. So when you're dealing with big grandstanding, proper central performances like that, and you have something like Alicia Vikander's performance in The Danish Girl, which is probably the best thing about the film, but it's much more subtle, more understated, difficult to sell as a lead, even though it is. And I suspect the same thing's true of Rooney Mara and Carol, which I haven't seen. So I understand why people like the Weinsteins are doing this. It just seems a bit like brinkmanship, to be honest, and they're just finding a way to game the system a little bit, and they're obviously not being allowed to, but it gives the actors and their possibilities an award extra publicity of all this hoo-ha as well, I guess.
It also means for the Golden Globes, for example, you know, the musical and comedy category is often filled by less than great films because there's nothing else to put in there. The Tourist was once nominated for Best Film of the Year.
Yeah.
And you know, if you push films like The Martian into comedy, then it does at least mean there's a slightly maybe higher quality as well in that category.
Well, it's always strange with the Golden Globes, right? I mean, I don't understand why they differentiate for a start. And then things like Into the Woods last year, like, would you ever think that Into the Woods would be in an award conversation if it hadn't been given a Best Musical or Comedy nomination at the Golden Globes? So it is strange. It's a way, I guess, for them to try and award more films, try and bring a sense that more films can get some nominations from people. But it's just an odd system, and I don't know why they keep following it, really.
Now, don't forget to check out theguardian.com/film today for all the latest film news and features, and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Today you can check out our appreciation of the late actor Saeed Jeffrey and all the latest on the global box office. See you tomorrow, and remember, we must face tomorrow, whatever it may hold, with determination, joy and bravery. And that's a quote from Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. Goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.